Well, good morning. It's going to be a challenge first for me to stand still. I am involved in public education at a middle school, so just let your mind run wild like they do to corral them and keep them and protect them and discipline and all of that stuff. But my name is Jay Knight. I live in Orlando, Florida. My heart's still in Texas. Don't tell my wife that. I thought about when I was driving down this morning how nice it would be to have this service outside because we don't get this kind of weather much down there. But what I thought, I just got the looks that I expected. It's like, no, we're not going outside. No, we're not going outside. So, the Lord called me to be in public education as a science teacher at first, and now I've moved over into the quasi-administration part of it, and God is good. I hope I learned early on you don't have to be a preacher or receive a paycheck from a church to be in ministry. Ministry is everyone's call once you've become born again. We all have our different strengths. We have our weaknesses. The topic this morning is God with us. We just finished the Christmas season. Of course, we know what Emmanuel means. Well, that was Jesus with us, with them physically for that time. But once we are born again, we have God with us as the Holy Spirit. Early in my teaching and coaching career, we were going on a trip, a basketball tournament, and one of my players had a, have y'all ever heard of a DVD? I'm going to date myself here. No live streaming, anything like that. He had a DVD and was listening to it and was into it. And when he was finished, I asked him about it. And I said, who is that? He said, it's the Newsboys. It's this new contemporary group that has just come out. Has anybody ever heard of the Newsboys? Well, they've changed lead singers in the last 5 or 6 years. Now it's Tate, who's formerly of DC Talk, a Christian rap group. You may know his former partner, Toby Mac. Of course, I'm seeing some of those looks now. Nope, or if it's not Johnny Cash, I don't know who it is. But there was a song on that CD. Jeremy Silva is his name. I remember the student. He said, "You can have it if you want it." I thought, okay. Well, there's a song on there called "Spirit Thing." I'm going to read you the lyrics from the Newsboys, 1996. It's not a family trait. It's nothing that I ate. And it didn't come from skating with holy rollers. It's an early warning sign. It keeps my life in line. It's so hard to define, but never mind. It's just a spirit thing. It's just a holy nudge. It's like a circuit judge in the brain. It's just a spirit thing. It's here to guard my heart. And it's just a little hard to explain. Second verse. It pushes when I quit. It smells a counterfeit. Sometimes it works a bit like a teleprompter. When it's teleprompting you, I pray that you'll let it through. And then I'll help you with the how. But for now, it's just a spirit thing. When I heard that, I first had some problems with the word it. Because we know the Holy Spirit is person. But we're not going to get into a theological. I didn't send him a... We didn't even have email back then. Wasn't going to take that up, but I'd appreciate the message and the fact that a freshman in high school was listening to it. As Brother Darrell mentioned earlier, I was here the Sunday after the Friday that Hurricane Helene came through. My wife and I drove up from Orlando, and we started seeing the trees laying down along the 75 in Gainesville. And the closer we got, you know, just the deeper our prayers and thoughts were of, as Ben said earlier, it wasn't a disaster area. It wasn't a war zone. It was a disaster. But we know God is faithful. And you as a congregation, even though there was seven of us here, everyone else was dealing with the moment, and obviously so. And so we recover with each other. We recover well. I'm in Orlando. We know about hurricanes. I've never felt my whole two-story house shake all at once. like it has a couple of times in the last several years, but you are to be commended with your faithfulness to the Lord and with each other. You know, unity is the core of the Trinity. Well, today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I didn't talk to Brother Daryl or Ben at all, but the first song, the fourth verse, "Finish them, thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise." That's the function of the Holy Spirit in our life. He's the guide. He pushes when we quit. He introduces what we should be doing. He introduces how we should be thinking. Often, you know, Satan can't have our souls once we're born again. So the battle, the territory is the mind. And we think we should be memorizing Scripture, putting on the armor of God every day as we go. Well, we've all heard of the Holy Spirit. We know something about him. We know that he's not an it. We know that he has personal traits. He can be grieved. He knows all things. Has he ever prompted you to do something different before you actually had the thought? He knows. He knows us. He knows me. He knows you. As we talk about the Trinity in general, we think of God as the Father, Jesus as the Son, and the Holy Spirit as our indwelling. They're all three equal. They're all three as important. There seems to be a little hierarchy that we pray to God, we believe in Jesus, and we live by the Spirit. But when we comb those depths, we understand how those three are really all working together, and they've always worked together. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit was one of the last to be developed in the church councils. As time marched forward and heresies were popping up within the congregations, even from within church members. But a lot of them were coming from outside belief systems, so they had to sit down and write out, this is what we believe. This is what Jesus taught. This is what the Hebrew Scriptures teach. He is God. Same essence, same significance, same importance, different in role. Different in role. The attributes we talked about this morning a little bit in the Sunday School Hour. There are the three O's, omnipresent, which means the Holy Spirit is not only inside or attached to a born again, but the Holy Spirit moves in the lost world all the time. All the time. He's not in this pulpit. He's not in my bottle of water. Side note, I've been fighting a cough, so I've got a cough drop and I may have to take a sip here and there, but we'll go right through that. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He already does. He's perfect. He has perfect knowledge. And he is omnipotent. He is all powerful. We know this because we read Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1, in the beginning was God. Verse 2, and the Spirit of God hovered above the darkness, and the Spirit of God brought things into creation. He brought things into order. God had the idea, we read in Colossians, that Jesus was the designer. You won't see the word designer in there, but there's a preposition by, B-Y. And by Jesus, all things came into being. The by, in that case, can be interpreted as designer. This water bottle is by somebody. It was designed by somebody. You know, God had the idea. Jesus came up with the design. And the Holy Spirit carried it out. That is a good way to remember how those three work together. Or another way to say it is how they work. Everything comes from God through Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit. And if we leave one of those out, we're unbalanced. You know, good luck sitting on a two-legged chair. It's not going to work. And our knowledge of the Trinity is paramount for our growth, for our knowledge. Does anybody here watch Jeopardy? Anybody? Every now and then they'll have a biblical category. And my wife will look at me and she's like, all right, your turn. And sometimes, you know, they'll have questions, you know, something about the Trinity or whatever. And so have you ever heard the phrase, knowledge is power? Carpe diem. Have you ever heard that knowledge is ammunition? Yeah, where I work, you can't say ammunition much. It, no pun intended, it triggers a lot of things. A lot, at all levels. So we know that they're all the same essence. Now, we're going to look at some of the roles. We know that the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. He was the doer of it. He's the task oriented. God said, I want to do this. Jesus said, I'll design it. Holy Spirit said, I'll make it work. He is not an active force like the Jehovah's Witness, their New World Translation says, and God's active force moved. We know that God, the Holy Spirit, is living and active. Do those words spark any verse in your mind? Living and active, sharper than... Well, that's the context is God's Word. But we believe that all of the Word was God-inspired, God-breathed, as He moved the prophets to write. Sometimes verbatim, sometimes the idea. Now, translations tend to make it easier for read. You know, there are men's and women's and teen and sports and non-athletes and scientists. There's lots of different translations and the focus. But we get back to the transcripts, the manuscripts. God-inspired. God-inspired. How did God work through the Old Testament? The Holy Spirit was the sign and enabler of God's choice on an individual for a specific task. And the phraseology is, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul. Even though he was not God's choice, God still said, okay, this is what you want. I'm going to let you have it, but you're not going to like it. And then he removed the Spirit. And that's when, the teenagers around my life, they said, Saul just went cray-cray. He lost it. Then David, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. The Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophets. And a lot of the news they had to tell the people was not good news. You know, think about in our time today, when you speak out against something, oh, you're racist, you're sexist, you're biased, you're cray-cray, you're something. But God always said, I will protect you, my prophets. You just deliver my word. Be faithful to the word. Some of them died. Some of them were killed. Some of them got to live through all of that. What other evidences are there of how the Holy Spirit moved in the Bible? Well, the Old Testament, he enabled people for a specific task. The whole book of Judges, the Holy Spirit was there on Samson and the other. There's lots of them. In the intertestamental period, it's a shame we don't hear more about this time frame when we talk the Bible, because there's nothing in our evangelical Bibles about this time period. The Catholic Bible has 13 books in between the Old and the New. It's called the Apocrypha, and that is a history of the time of the last writing prophet, Malachi, to when Jesus first came on the scene. It was about 400 years. There were no writing prophets, but God was still at work through lost people. The Jews that were living by covenantal faithfulness. God was still blessing them. But the Jewish nation as a whole had already gone corrupt. When they stopped having kings that were not of the line of Judah, things went bad. You've got prophets for hire. You know, yeah, slide me $20. I'll tell you what you want to hear. You can bring that defective lamb. God will forgive you. You know, a lot of compromise. So the Holy Spirit was definitely at work through Rome. And you've heard this before, building the roads. Because it's those roads that Paul traveled, the apostles traveled, that Jesus walked on as they carried the good news. The Holy Spirit was responsible for the conception of Jesus. You remember that? How would you ladies like to have had that dream when the angel showed up and said, you're going to have this guy we've been talking about? And the word is overshadow you. Because only God could conceive God. It's an interesting history. When you go back through the kings of Judah, God told one of them, he says, my line stops with you. You're so corrupt, I'm ending it. So Jesus had to have had the immaculate conception. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus at his baptism. Jesus didn't say the sinner's prayer. You know, I confess myself as the Lord and Savior. Please save me. I baptize myself in the name of God, me and the Holy, you know, none of that. Well, that was Old Testament symbology. Because remember, when the Holy Spirit came upon somebody, it was God's sign. It was his approval. And there are folks still today, just, you know, they wake up saying, please give me the Spirit today. Well, if we're born again, that's not our prayer. Our prayers fill us today. We're baptized once, filled many times. Have you had multiple fillings in a day? The Holy Spirit is orderly. The Holy Spirit is very disciplined. It's not ecstatic. And there are other denominations and religions who believe that when the Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be running laps, doing push-ups, you can just do whatever. But the Holy Spirit is orderly. He's planned. He has a mind, he has emotions, and he has a will. There's absolutely nothing wrong when the music is rolling, raising hands and shouting, as long as it's honoring God. We're going to get the tongues here in a little bit. The Spirit is living and active. We know that the Spirit has been given, does have human characteristics, because we're told in the New Testament, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we sin, we grieve the Spirit. I don't know if you've had moments in your life like I've had mine, the Holy Spirit was, oh, not again. Would you stop? I can read your mind. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. It's kind of funny, there was a professor at Dallas Seminary named Dr. Pentecost. So imagine the questions he got. What was it like? Of course, he was in his 80s and still teaching. I wasn't there, that wasn't me. And the Holy Spirit came upon the people and delivered. There were two things. It identified who the church really is, but it also distributed intelligible languages. And if you really want to get a conversation started, talk about the languages. But we know from what Scripture teaches in Act 2 that these were known languages of that day. It would be like Russian and French and Italian, where I'm from, redneck. We have our own dialect. We have our own dictionary. Not very thick, but we have one. It was never gibberish. It was never ecstatic utterances. And it's also interesting to note in Galatians 5, when Paul is talking, he's contrasting law and spirit, flesh and spirit, that languages is not one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithful, gentleness, and self-control. That's 8 out of 9. I got to work on that. Patience. He is the originator, the endower of special gifts. Romans and Ephesians talk about the gifts. These are what the Holy Spirit, they're His gifts, but He works them through us. We know we have at least one. Does anybody else know what at least one of your gifts is? One of mine is teaching and administration. Don't ask me to lead singing. That is not a gift. I was singing a little bit up here while she was playing. I thought, oh, I'm too loud. She's going to look at me and tell me to stop here in a minute. We are one body, many parts. Paul goes to make this distinction. Not everybody can be the foot. Not everybody can be the head. Not everybody can be the hand. It's interesting he never talked about anything inside the body because they didn't know much about it. They don't have the x-rays and the CAT scans we do today. They had an idea what goes on, but he talks about mostly external parts. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. This congregation, everyone here, hopefully completes what God has in mind for this congregation. All of the gifts should be here in some seminal basic level, but it's up to us to use them. You know, a gift is only, it has a purpose, but it's only as strong as we use it. You know, think about when we're sick and we're laying around for a week. Our muscles get weak. We have to practice our gifts. They're from the Holy Spirit. You're exactly right. If somebody starts talking in ways we're not used to, there has to be a translator. There has to. I was told by one of my tennis players when I was coaching I wasn't born again because I didn't speak in tongues. I said, I do. I speak English. That's a tongue. Totally threw him off of his game. Now, for born again Christianity, He is our sign and our seal of our adoption. It's not what we pray. It's not who, like the song said, it's nothing that I ate. I didn't inherit it. Paul went through in John 1. You know, you didn't get into the family because of who your daddy is or how good you are or anything. The Holy Spirit comes, and somebody said it this morning in Sunday school, it immediately comes on us at our conversion. And unlike the Old Testament days, He is with us to stay. God does not renegotiate His deal. If He did, we couldn't trust Him. Thank goodness in Hebrews it says, to the faithful I am faithful, and even to the unfaithful I am still faithful because I cannot deny myself. There are no paradoxes in the Godhead. You know, when you were telling about the paradoxes, God would not even let Moses look at Him. But He lives inside of us. That's a paradox. The Holy Spirit cannot leave, but He does become quiet. We can stifle His work when we're sinning, when we're not obeying. The Holy Spirit is our sign of justification. I'm going to throw some big words, then I'm going to give you kind of our North Texas verbiage. He is a sign of our being right with God. Nothing we did except act by faith in Christ alone. And when we cooperate for our sanctification just means how are we rightly relating to God. Justify, we are rightly related to God. I'm rightly related to my parents, but have I always rightly related with them? When I went to college, my dad said, remember, you're a knight. Well, just about the only thing I remembered that day, I was ready to get out of the house. But I remembered that. And a lot of times when I'm out and about, God has to remind me, remember, you're mine. I need to be able to tell you're different. They need to see that you're different. So, in Acts, other, you know, in addition to the Pentecost event, you remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? This is one of our key verses that proves to us that the Holy Spirit is God. And they said, you have not lied to men, you have lied to God, you have lied to the Spirit. You know, the word Trinity is not even in the Bible. So they went and they studied everything that was said and they came up with the word. Jesus identified the Holy Spirit as living water. Think about if you grew up in an agriculture setting. Both of my grandparents grew up during the, if you ever heard of the Dust Bowl days in the panhandle of Texas, water was rare, especially fresh water. Jesus walked through the temple, you know, this is a paraphrase, if you believe in me, and he probably held up not a water bottle, but a pitcher, he said, living water will come out of you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt that freshness, that invigoration, when you know it's the Spirit moving on you? In Jeremiah, God, through the prophets, started talking about a new covenant. Of course, if you've done any study of the covenants, it is basic understanding of the Bible. There were various covenants. Some were conditional, some unconditional. God said, if you obey, I will bless you. If you don't, I will curse you. It doesn't mean he gave them a good cussing. It means I'm not going to bless you. You want to live like the world? Have at it. Have fun. And hopefully you'll return. Hence, the prodigal son. Should be called the prodigal father because of how much he has to put up with us, accepting us back. The Holy Spirit living inside a person is the main sign of that new covenant. As you read earlier, the bread and the wine, grape juice. His body is a sign of the new covenant sacrifice. No more lambs, no more goats, no more blood like that. We're the temple, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are filled many times daily, hopefully. We're baptized only once. Now, there's a lot of issues. We'll be baptized here in another denomination, things like that. This is not relevant here. But the Bible does teach, be baptized. Jesus had to leave so the Holy Spirit could come and indwell. They were so fixed on following him around and going to him for answers, they didn't want to let him go. Matter of fact, they were still looking for the nation of Israel to take over. And Jesus kept telling them, well, I'm from a kingdom that you don't really know about yet. You know, if you remember the Sermon on the Mount, that's about the kingdom of God. He said, I have to go, but you will not be left as orphans. I give you the Holy Spirit, and he will, in times of trouble, he will tell you what to say. This morning in Sunday school, we asked the question, when was the time you were kind of in a spiritual awkward situation? You didn't know what to say, and all of a sudden, you knew what to say. And it was on spot, and it was timely. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the official sign of the true church. I may ruffle some feathers on this one. I grew up, one of my best friends attended another denomination who believed that you can lose the Holy Spirit, that you had to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, because if you didn't, you could lose your salvation. I invited him to our Bible school because we had better snacks, mainly. But he picked up the Bible and he said, now this is funny. Y'all says the exact same thing ours does. And that started a conversation. The church is everyone right now on planet Earth who has the Holy Spirit. It's got nothing to do with the name above the door. The church, the true church, is everyone who has the Holy Spirit. And it is the only, if I can call it, people group or organization that will and has already and does defeat Satan. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's not talking political parties. He's not talking your favorite sports team. Although I think the Holy Spirit left Alabama this year. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. If you've ever been asked, you're talking to somebody and they ask you, what church do you go to? Well, I attend this group, but because of the Holy Spirit, I'm a member of God's church. That should spark some discussion. Should. The restrainer, the Holy Spirit, as mentioned in Genesis 6:3, when God said, I will not contend with man much longer. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the Holy Spirit is the restrainer of Satan and evil on the earth for now. Is he doing pretty good or is he letting some things through? Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome. Overcome means you've outdone it. That implies you got to wrestle with it. You've got to face it. In our jobs every day, we overcome a lot of nonsense. And sometimes I've learned I got to pick my fights. The verse you read earlier, you know, entertain a fool and don't entertain a fool. Well, when is when? Well, you'll know as soon as you say something. If it gets better, it's good. If it goes north after that, I don't say go south anymore because we're from the south. If you're south, you're good. If it goes north, it's over. It's over. When believers are raptured, guess who goes with us? The Holy Spirit. You think it's bad now? Wait till the restraining is lifted. It's like offering free pizza to my sixth graders during lunch. There is no restraint. We look at each other like, oh, we're getting out of here. We're going to go stand over here. It's like feeding a bunch of piranhas. When we are raptured, the Holy Spirit leaves. Then we have the book of Revelation. You understand the book of Revelation is about Christ. It's not about the events. Of course, we want to know what's going on. Well, it's good because we can entertain questions, and it's intriguing. But we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. We're not even going to be here. I don't want to be here. If you've ever been to Orlando, you go down I-4 at 5 o'clock. That's after the tribulation. And I don't do much ministering then. My wife has to restrain me from talking to people all around me. So as we wrap up, to apply, for those that are not born again, all we have is just a good head knowledge. Tom Nelson, one of my favorite pastors, he said, if you're not born again, you're a dead man walking. That's powerful. Knowledge of God will not get us into heaven. There will be a lot of religious professors not even get through the gate. So if anyone in here, you know, God's been calling, that's the only way in is for God to invite. And we, by his power, he enables us to believe by that faith in God alone, Christ alone, faith alone, scripture alone. So if today's the day, cooperate. That's my word for the year. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit will come in and you will know something happened. Then we become what we call babes in Christ. Everybody starts out as a baby. Nobody comes in a full Christian. We have to start. Paul actually gets after a congregation and says, you know, by this time you ought to be ready for meat. You still need milk. You still need the basic stuff. It's a goal of ours, and it is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit to move us from milk to meat. Now, if you're vegetarian, vegan, you take that up with God. That's scripture. I'm not going there. Any sin? For those of us that are believers, are we quenching the Spirit? Have we not heard from the Spirit in a while? What's causing it? Is it sin? Even a little bit is enough. And we think of sin, we think of the gross, the big stuff. I grew up Baptist. You don't smoke, drink, or chew, or date girls that do. But you never see that in Scripture. You hear about gossip, backbiting, all the heart issues. The Holy Spirit knows our heart. What is it, Psalm 139? One of the Psalms. So if there's anything blocking that, we just get honest with God. We may have to go to somebody. We can't take the Lord's Supper if we got something going on with somebody. That's a violation. People in that day have died because they weren't living right and took the Holy, the Lord's Supper with the wrong attitude. It becomes a holy snack. That's sacrilegious. We are God's paratroopers. Let me explain that. As I shared earlier in the movie Band of Brothers, they're complaining about always being attacked from all sides, all around. And one of the officers said, we're paratroopers. We're supposed to be surrounded by the enemy. That's our job. Well, we as believers, we're always surrounded by the enemy. This is their turf. For the unbeliever, this is as close to heaven as they're ever going to get. And that's because of us. That's because of true believers. That's why we need to be acting like we should. And for the believer, this is as close to hell as we'll ever get. That's why the warning, Paul and John, lay the deeds of darkness aside. We need to be able to tell who you are. We all get caught up in our sin. Some small, some, we're human. That's why the Holy Spirit, thank goodness that when we first messed up, the Holy Spirit didn't leave. He's with us. He prays for us in words that are, they're groanings. He cares. He loves us. He's the Spirit of love. That's agape. That means love without return. Love selflessly. So let's take, I'm not sure how you do an invitation or, okay. Let's just have just a little brief moment. Maybe the Lord has laid something on your heart. If you're not one of his yet, he's knocking. Now, Revelation 3 has nothing to do with the plan of salvation. It's about repentance. It's come back. But for some, God is saying in the King's English, what say ye? What's your answer? Or maybe he has shown us something in our life that's not right. He's saying, come closer. I remember Sean Hannity was talking to a pastor. Of course, Sean Hannity is Catholic. And he said something about religion, and the pastor said, Sean, two things. Stay close, and you will stay clean. We can't stay close to God and get dirty. So let's pause just for a moment of silence, and then we'll have our song. Well, Father, you know our hearts. You know who's in and who's out. You know who's close and who's far. We pray from you through Jesus and by the Spirit that we get it right. We walk away from our deeds of darkness. We put on the armor of light. We forgive, we love, and we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.